Khairul hadyi hadyu Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa syarrul umuri muhdatsatuha wa kullu muhdatsatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalatin wa kullu dalalatin finnar. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who for the Muslim Ummah we know is the ideal example. And there is no doubt for any Muslim that the focal point, the prime example of ittiba', of imitation and following, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we find inside Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter, verse number 21, if my memory serves me correct at this stage. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed for you there is a fine form of etiquette and behavior for you to emulate and to copy the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a rough rendition of this verse. Likewise we find وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed your character is so manifest, so high. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We raised high your remembrance sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus all of us begin to search for that personality, or try to imitate that personality. And we know that we all fall short. But there were certain individuals who followed that personality, and they become the second source of inspiration for us. Those are the individuals or the companions that we find who become the ideal people. Because as Muslims begin to search who are the ideal individuals to emulate and to copy as a formal body, then it becomes none other than the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their complete imitation led them to become the complete ideal individuals, the complete role models. That's how simple the answer is. As many people present today, that what is the ideal methodology or the way of life or the way to gain victory once again and to become dominant and have dominance on the land, is to return back to those simple, pristine teachings. Simple teachings which for many of us have become trivial. For many of us it's become issues of ikhtilaf, of difference of opinion. Primary issues that many of us were brought on or taught by our teachers today become an environment of contention. Contention because now we live in the 21st century. Contention now because we live in the West. Contention today because we have to offer a new form of da'wah after 9/11 and 7/7. So how many colors do we carry? How many shapes do we have? How many identities do we have? And the more that we begin to delve into this crisis of ours, the more we begin to drift away and differ and move away from the compilation and the understanding of the noble companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that every single Prophet had his followers. But if it's plausible or acceptable, they did have their slip-ups and mistakes. Not to tarnish them, rather the Quran highlights certain instances whereby those followers were not the best of followers. The Bani Israel, in general, the followers of Musa alayhi salam that you find, and we can read right from the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah all the slip-ups and the mistakes that they make. But for many of us Muslims, we just begin to laugh and scoff at them, thinking, well, that's talking about Ahlul Kitab, talking about Al-Yahud, talking about Al-Nasara. We're not going to do those same mistakes. But ulama of tafsir, they highlight, or usul of tafsir, Al-Ibra bi'umumi lafzi la bi'khususi sabab. The lesson is to be taken from the generality of the words and not from the specifics of the revelation. That's what many of us have become. We've become like those individuals. Kitab Allahi wara'a buhurihim ka'annahum la ya'lamun. Throw the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind our backs as if we don't know. We all know who these ayat are talking about. أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. Do you tell mankind to do certain actions and you don't do them yourself and you recite the book? Don't you have a mind and ability to comprehend and to understand? We know who these verses refer to, but we're behaving exactly like that. لتتبعن سنة من كان قبلكم. You'll follow the footsteps, you'll follow the way of life, the understanding, the perception of those people that came before you, footstep by footstep, inch by inch. You'll become like those individuals. Yet these prophecies, we cannot begin to visualize them and understand them. Yet we continue to slip up and make the same mistakes. Whereby many times, if you ponder over the hadith, the mu'min is never stung from the same hole twice. The strange factor is, we claim to be believers, we haven't been stung from the same hole twice. We've been stung from the same hole many times. Many times from the same hole. So there is some deficiency in our iman. We're not real believers. There's a great deficiency in our iman because the hadith highlights that the believer is never stung from the same hole twice. And we've been stung many times from that same location. Going back to the topic, Bani Israel, what was amongst their errors that they made? When they made that great blunder of highlighting, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَائِدُونَ. You go, Musa, and your Lord, and go and fight against those people. We're going to remain stagnant here. So they didn't have the conviction of what Musa a.s. was telling them to do. Or for example, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى اجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهًا. After being rescued and being taken to the other side of the river, they make this supplication and ask Musa a.s., give us a deity, because they're worshipping this deity, this idol that they have. Make for us a deity on the other side of this ocean or this river. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. Indeed, you're an ignorant people. You've seen all of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nine signs. آيات مفصلات. Continuous signs. You've seen them. But look how foolish you are. You've just been rescued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're asking to give you a deity that these people have created. And as for the followers of Isa ibn Maryam, the real Muslims, the real Christians linguistically, al-Nasara, as you find, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ كَمَا قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ لِلْحَوَارِيِّينَ. Al-Hawariyun, the disciples, what they translate them loosely, the 12 disciples that you find. And you find that they asked a question as well, that send down from us مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ, a table spread of food from the heavens, referring to Surah Al-Ma'idah in the 5th chapter. And don't think that this has any relationship to what they classify as the Lord's Supper, the final meal of Jesus. This famous depiction painted by Leonardo da Vinci in some 1456 that you find, that he's sitting there with his disciples around him and having his final supper. That's not the final supper. That's not what Surah Al-Ma'idah is referring to. And these depictions that you find of these individuals are all plastered over the Vatican and the Sistine Chapel part of the Vatican, which is supposed to be the home of Berber, the Pope. And we can praise the Pope for one thing that he's done, to come out in the open recently and to highlight what is a general normal way for a man and a woman, and how you can begin to see how they begin to tarnish him. If you claim to be men of God, then give the teachings of God, the real teachings, the teachings of humanity, the teachings of normality, the teachings of morality, if you claim to be men of God. And we know the great discrepancies that we have with them is obviously their belief. Their belief that this day that they claim to be the celebration or the birthday of Christ, but even according to their own Orthodox Christians that you find today, is not the birthday of Christ, according to the Orthodox Christians of Russia and other states that you find. It's not the birth of Christ. Rather, it is the day that the Roman pagans worship the sun, and whereby the sun begins to decline. Because we know that the founder of Christianity is Saint Paul, an arch enemy to Christianity, who, living in the Roman Empire as a Roman national, on a vision in returning, traveling to Damascus, sees Isa ibn Maryam in a vision and becomes a devout Christian, and then he compiles the Bible. So you can see the paganistic rituals that exist around us, the taking of the Christmas tree and all the other rituals that you find, is based nothing upon paganistic rituals of the people existing in the Roman Empire. But to return back to the topic that we find, that was the mistake, the questions that they asked. And thus you find inside the same surah, you find this verse, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ عَشَاءٍ إِن تُبْدَلَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Don't ask about certain affairs or ask excessive questions, because if it's explained to you, it could harm you. So continuous hair splitting and asking questions brings about a destruction of a people, of a nation. Those individuals who never asked excessive questions, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma highlights, the companions only asked 12 questions. And even the questioning that they asked was for the benefit of the rest of humanity. So every time you find in the Quran the concept of yas'alunaka, they ask you about this, they ask you about that, you find great beneficial questions there. Yas'alunaka anil ahilla, they ask you about the present. Yas'alunaka anil mahid, they ask you about the menstrual cycle. Yas'alunaka anil khamri wal maysir, they ask you about gambling and about the drinking of liquor and alcohol. Beneficial questioning that benefits the people around them and will benefit the rest of us after them. Those were the individuals that the real followers, who are classified as Rijal Hawlur Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, men around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and obviously including women and children as well. So in his day and age of icons and symbols that you find, and role models and heroes, if we cannot attain the level of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then at least try. Because that is what these individuals, what they did. They tried and they got close, and eventually they were praised. And whilst on that journey they were praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what we can do, is make a fraction of that focus, of that devotion, and to make that journey to read and to study about their lives, about their personalities, about their actions, about their iman, about their devotion, and obviously the whole theme about their golden hearts. Because there's something strange about gold. Gold is classified as one of those items, or those precious metals. The more you burn gold, the more purified it becomes. That's what this Muslim Ummah is. The more you burn this ummah, the more precious, the more pure, and the more focused it's going to become. And that's something they cannot understand. And that's something us Muslims cannot understand as well. That the daghd and the shada'id are placed there to furnish you, to purify you, and to bring you about as a more pure and focused individual towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find these statements time and time again, as Abdullah Mas'ud highlights again and again, about everything was selected. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was selected, the Kaaba was selected, the location was selected, and the companions were selected. Don't fall into this trap, as some deviants they highlight, that we are men and they were men. There's a difference, like the heavens and the earth, of you being a man and those individuals being men. Because at the moment the men around us, they're not classified as men according to the Sharia. They're not classified as men, because it's the women at the moment who are behaving like real men. Because those individuals who claim to be men, they shy away from their roles and their responsibilities. Because what does it mean? الرجال قوامون على النساء. Men are more powerful and stronger than women. Does that mean physical? Study the deep Arabic language of qawama. What does it mean? The man is the one who takes care of sha'unul bayt, takes care of his home, takes care of his family, takes care of his children. Islam isn't like today, a love of lust and desires and pleasures, and leave your family alone. That's what many of the youth have become. That's all that their life is revolving around. A real man is the one who takes care of himself, takes care of his family, takes care of everything around him. That's the real focus and devotion that you find. And those real men, they just did that. They took care of their families, took care of their homes, took care of their community on every single scale. And everything about them that you find is strange. They would sit like him, walk like him, talk like him, laugh like him, weep like him, defecate like him, urinate like him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereby today we find this da'wah to tajadudiyah, this da'wah of modernism, of feeling ashamed to sit down and urinate, feeling ashamed to eat with your hands, feeling ashamed to give salam, feeling ashamed to adorn yourself with the Islamic attire in the right location, feeling ashamed to wear your hijab, feeling ashamed to wear your niqab. Billahi alaykum, are these people ashamed to walk out in a state of nudity? Are these people ashamed to fornicate on the streets? Are these people ashamed to commit adultery in the streets? Are these people ashamed to get drunk on the streets? They're not ashamed. So how can you feel ashamed? Are you doing something immoral? Are you doing something which is incorrect? So why do we feel like that? When these men, they felt everything was pristine about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas would ride his camel, and all of a sudden just turn his camel around. And they would ask him, there's no obstruction in your way, why did you just swing your camel around? And he would highlight, I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam turn his camel at this location, I wanted to do likewise. I saw him sit down and urinate under such and such a tree, I want to go and urinate underneath that same location as well. That's how these individuals were. Simple individuals in the understanding of following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's not as many of us we think, they excelled via immense actions. That's not the concept. Is walakin ma waqara fi qulubihim, is because of what went penetrated into their hearts. Because we will know the many hadith about the famous Quran, the reciters that will come, but the Quran won't go beyond their throats, and it will go out of this deen just like the arrow goes through the game, just like the arrow swifts through the neck of an animal, of a beast, and comes out, and nothing is left except for a few trinkets of blood upon the arrow. That's how quickly some people, the reciters of the Quran, will go out of the deen. So that's not the mi'yar, that's not the distinction. It's about what goes deep down into the hearts of the human being. That focus, that devotion is what brings out the best of mankind. And thus you find Ibn Hajar who highlights that who are the companions. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the famous imam, explainers of hadith of Fath al-Bari, that you find that a companion is the one who met, believed in him, believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a short while and died upon that. And thus you find those are the ones that can be called friends in the deepest sense of the term. Real friends they were. You know, sometimes we narrate these stories to our children, but we can't really seem to comprehend these stories. Even those simple stories that we find about the three individuals in the battlefield, of how water comes to the first individual and he says, go and give it to my friend, where is my comrade? Go and give it to him. When they take the journey to the second individual, he goes, what happened to the third comrade? Go and give it to him. So as the water travels to the third comrade, he is returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The carrier of water returns back to the second comrade, he's lifted back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Returns back to the first individual, he's lifted back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one gets to drink the water. Such simple statements, but yet how far we are away from such actions. So far away, to collect a few pennies and a few pounds. Well, maybe they're just a fanatical organization. Why should we give our money to such and such individuals? As we rejoice and we eat and we drink, millions of our ikhwan, they suffer. They suffer. 5,000 Iraqi children die every single month. Every single month. But that may be, Sheikh, is being too political for us. We shouldn't be worried about such issues. We should be just focusing on purification. What is real purification? وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Show goodness to humanity just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed goodness to you. That is aqa'id, that is belief. Belief for us is rhetoric, it's speech, it's harshness, it's being coarse, it's being rude, it's being arrogant, it's being full of kibr. Al-kibr batar al-haq wa ghamt al-nas. Kibr isn't to dress well and to look well. Arrogance is to reject the truth and to despise people. It's to despise people. How can you despise your own Muslims? How can you look down upon them? Even if they're full of corruption, even if they're full of incorrect beliefs. What is the way of the du'at? Islahun nas. What is the way of the Muslim to rectify Muslims? Is not to run away from the Muslims and to leave them in a bad state. Is that from the manhaj of the companions? Is that from the methodology of the companions? That this is the methodology that we've learned? To leave the Muslim ummah in a bad state. And thus you find the deepest sense of friends. This hadith, as a young man, many times I heard this hadith. And through my own deficiency, at times I used to question this hadith. And it wasn't until I read this hadith in the Sahih of al-Bukhari that I thought, such strange words, such powerful words. Discussing Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, that you find the Pact of Hudaybiyah. Urwa ibn Masud al-Thaqafi, who narrates or mentions this hadith, the non-Muslim at this stage. He's been given the task to go and discuss with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he goes and meets the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sees their actions, he returns back to the Quraysh. He's been won over. That's all that we're asking you Muslims to do as well. We're not asking you to convert or revert people. is to win their hearts over and their minds over. They go back to their own people and say, that's not how these people are. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud returns back to the leaders of Quraysh. He says, I've seen the leaders of Qaisar, of Caesar, the leader of the Romans. I've seen Kisra, the leader, the emperor of the Persians. I've seen An-Najashi, the leader of the Abyssinians. But most of these leaders, they force their followers to listen to them. Qawmun Jabbarun, that's what they are. Tyrannical people. As many of the people are around us at the moment. Tyrannical. Forcing people to come to their way of life. Forcing people, bringing them down onto their knees. Man ashaddu minna quwwa, who's more powerful than us? Have we not heard those words many times before? And the response is there. Do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more powerful than these individuals? So don't ever get mesmerized by people giving that threat. Limanil mulku al-yawm lillahi al-wahid al-qahhar. To whom does the dominion, the kingdomship belong to? Belongs to the only one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qahhar, the irresistible one. So don't ever fall traps to the dominance and the power of what exists around you, because that is nothing but da'ful iman. Urwa says, I've seen all these leaders, the people just forced, compelled to listen to them. But this leader and his followers, I'm startled at these followers. I've never seen such followers in my life. That his followers, that if he was to spit, they would fight one another to grab his saliva and rub it on their faces. If he used to make wudu, carry يَقْتُلُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا, they would fight one another to catch the remnants of the water that fell from his blessed face. And if he was to speak, they would lower their faces, lower their heads in respect and love and reverence towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've never seen such followers in my life. This is a non-Muslim who later becomes a Muslim and highlights the devotion of these men. Not like these people singing and chanting his name sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chanting empty slogans or clapping their hands or playing the duff. Empty slogans. These are real individuals. Blind followers of not the Aimma. Blind followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. The Prophet is more closer to you than your own selves. Close, beloved to you than anything in your life. So this world is beloved to you. Your children are beloved to you. Your wealth is beloved to you. Then you haven't believed. Because even to Umar he made this statement, I love myself more. But the Prophet Muhammad said to him, you have to love me more than your own self. You have to break that passion in your own heart. Break that love that you have of yourself. Sacrifice everything about yourself in the way, in the path towards gaining the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which obviously most of us have fallen short. Ibn Abdul Barr al-Andalusi, the famous Spanish scholar, highlights the most important element which helps us to understand and to preserve the Sunnah are those individuals who transmitted the Sunnah, is none other than the companions. The best generation, the righteousness of all of them has been confirmed by Allah and His Apostle sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are reflection of the verse, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat in nas,
تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. You are the best people ever raised up. Throughout the Quran, such ayat that you find, whereby we walk about thinking that these ayat are talking about us. According to classical works of tafsir, whenever such ayat occur inside the Quran, they primarily refer back to the companions. Those are the real individuals. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best generation is my generation, and then the following generation that comes after it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them even though they were illiterate. A mass portion of the companions were illiterate. Look how many of us Muslims that we think that a revival of the Muslims will come when we've gained the same technological advancement, the same infrastructure, the same language, the same skills, the same economics, the same politics, will become glorious once again. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlight هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ, sent amongst the illiterate individuals, the illiterate Arab, Bedouin Arabs, desert Arabs? Why did He send amongst them a prophet from amongst themselves? What is the key element, the key insight about such ayat inside the Quran? It's not about skill of the mind and the ability to rational and to comprehend and to understand, because simplicity gets you places. Simplicity makes you conquer and rule. And history has testified to that. That wherever these simple people went, they governed and they ruled and they conquered. There's no debate about it. They were victorious wherever they went, these individuals. Because why? They didn't quiver in their faith, they didn't shake. One day we say something, some day we say something else. Some days we do something, some days we do something else. Some days something is halal and some days it's haram. Some days something is haram and then some days something is halal. Or those things are halal. Who are those individuals that the Quran refers to? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Who do these ayat refer to? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those individuals who say our Lord is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and remain steadfast. What happens to such individuals? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ, angels come down upon them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't fear, don't grieve. And have glad tidings of paradise because of what you used to do. We are your friends inside this world and inside the Akhirah. Who are these ayat referring to? These ayat are referring to none other than the companions. They didn't change in their iman. They didn't change in their perception. They did not change in their vision and in their goals. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Those are the real believers. Those individuals that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in front of them, or when they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts begin to shake. And when the ayat are read upon them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, increases them in iman. So sometimes we may think that our hearts shake, and sometimes we think that our iman begins to increase when the Quran is recited, but here comes the difference. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Their trust is upon or in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their trust isn't in the hand that feeds them, or the people that govern them, or the people that control them. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Total affair, total trust returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the best protector. Basic fundamentals of belief, basic fundamentals of belief that we've lost. We don't have that devotion. We don't have that focus. We know where our tawakkul lies at the moment. We know where it lies. It's quite obvious, it's quite open, it's quite clear. In what buildings and what places it falls upon. The description continues, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They establish the prayer and they spend of the wealth that's been given to them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. Those are the real believers. Those are the real believers. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. They have darajat عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Ranks will be given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will have a good, noble provision. So we have to seek that iman. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If you believe as they have believed, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا, you will be guided. You will be successful. وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. But if you turn away from that path, you will be in a state of difference. فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. You'll be at variance with one another of turning away from that belief. And thus one needs to learn not to contradict them in belief, in action, in a way of life. What has been attributed to Imam Shafi'i, that he went through the Quran some 100 occasions to try to find a verse which talks about the rank and the position of the companions. Trying to find a verse which talks about the consensus or the rank of the companions. Till eventually he came upon the verse inside Surah An-Nisa, the 4th chapter, verse 115. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contends with a messenger after guidance has been shown to that individual, and then that individual does what? وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows a way other than the way of the believers. What is the way of the believers? Who are the believers? The believers here are none other than the companions. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. Leave him upon that. وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَأَتْ مَصِيرًا. And the final end, the refuge, what an evil destination will be of that individual, will be the hellfire. Full stop. So why should we fall into the traps of what individuals are trying to promote? That there could be a new entity of Islam, there could be a new vision of Islam, and the companions could have erred or misunderstood or gone away from the path. When this verse inside Surah An-Nisa, verse 115, is sending home the message, don't go against the way of the believers. And likewise, Imam Malik, Imam Darul Hijra, the Imam of Medina, who never ever left Medina except for to perform the Hajj that you find he highlighted, that the last of this Ummah will not be rectified until it follows that which the first of this Ummah was upon. Are we talking about food? Are we talking about drink? Are we talking about clothing? Even though that is important, but certain elements will change. It's terms of belief and principles that the end of this Ummah will not be rectified until it tries to follow as suit and likewise as the first of this ummah, the way of the companions. And as you find, the characteristics are mentioned throughout the Quran. Muhammadur Rasulullah, والذين معه شداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him, الشداء على الكفار, harsh against the disbelievers, obviously when the time is right. رحماء بينهم, merciful towards one another. This verse at the moment has been turned upside down. We are ruhama ila al-kuffar, we're merciful towards the disbelievers. Ashidda'u ala al-mu'mineen, harsh towards the believers. It's quite visible. We bend over backwards and make excuses for their actions. Bend over backwards time and time again. But when it comes to a Muslim, have we forgotten such ahadith make 70 excuses for your brother? But we make takfir upon Muslims. We label them as innovators. We label them as astray individuals. We label them as ignorant individuals. We label them as juhal individuals. We label them people who don't have no knowledge. But amam al-kuffar, amongst those individuals, we clap and we play the tune for them. What is this verse teaching us? It's not saying to be harsh and rude and to spill their blood, if that's what some people may try to interpret what my words are trying to highlight. It's trying to highlight a form of justification, of devotion, of commitment. And then you find the etiquettes, the characteristics of these believers. You find them bowing, prostrating, seeking the virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find the remnants of the sujood upon their faces, of weeping and crying. And as you find some ulama tafaseer, they try to break down these ayat and link it to each of the four khulafa, even though this interpretation is incorrect. And that is a fair stance to make of Ahlul Sunnah, because many of the Sunni ulama try to use this verse, try to make interpretation that these ayat are talking about Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali. Because we don't want to go to the extreme of how the Shia begin to take interpretation of the ayat and the evil interpretations that they make. As you find such ayat inside the Quran that they make ta'wil. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to sacrifice the haifa, the cow. You know what the Shia, they write? That the baqara is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Read the works of tafaseer, ya ayyuhal nas, read their works. People will get emotional and begin to champion the cause of Ayatollah Khomeini and his famous fatwa that he issued against Salman Rushdie in the book that he wrote, Satanic Verses. And we say, why don't you apply the same fatwa upon Ayatollah Khomeini as well? Read his works of what he wrote and how he blasphemed against the companion. And how they do continuously in Surah At-Tawbah that you find. فَقَاتِلَا إِمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ. Fight the leaders of disbelief. They say it refers to Abdullah ibn Zubayr. They are the leaders of kufr, of disbelief. And other such ta'wilat that you find of these individuals is a sign that these people are away from Ahl Sunnah, as we will mention. And nothing distracted these men. They weren't like us. These were individuals, they were men, rijalun, la tulhihim tijaratun wala bay'un an dhikrillah. These men, wealth, commodity, business transactions did not take them away from the dhikr of Allah. Wa iqami salati wa ita'i zakah. Yakhafuna yawman tataqallabu fihi al-qulubu wal absar. Nothing distracts these individuals from establishing their prayer and giving their zakah. They fear a day when the hearts and the eyes will be overturned. That's what these individuals that they fear. And remember, these men have never changed the slightest. Because there's some men amongst us who think that they may be in a certain location, but when they return back again, their hearts change once again. But these men are strange men. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. From amongst the believers there's some men that you find صَدَقُوا مَا أَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, have lived true to the covenant they made towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them have been lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that true intention. And some of them you find are still waiting. And in their waiting, we begin to change. But for them, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, they've never changed. That burning desire, that burning yearn inside their heart, is not changed. That flame still exists. Externally, they look like every single individual. Externally, their actions look like every single individual. But deep down in their hearts, there's a burning desire to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That dire need and struggle that you find, the day of Badr that you find, which classified the day Yawmul Furqan. Remember we began with whereby the disciples or the followers of Musa said, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. The companion said, we're not going to say that to you, Ya Rasulullah. We're not going to say, unlike that day they said to Musa alayhi salam, that you and your Lord go and fight. We're here right with you. We were with you from the beginning, and we're going to be with you till the end. We're never going to say to you, Ya Rasulullah, you and your Lord go alone and fight. We're going to remain with you and fight with you until our final breath and our final drops will be with you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with those individuals who gave that pledge underneath the tree, some 1500 or so in number, who gave that pledge. Rather, all of the companions had been forgiven. The 313 who fought on the day of Badr had been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who took the pledge underneath the tree have been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. The first and foremost amongst the muhajirun wal-ansar. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And those who follow them in goodness. If there's any two names which are allowed, is al-muhajirun wal-ansar. Two names mentioned inside the Qur'an. But even if you begin to champion the cause of slogans and names, as you find in the hadith that a boy from amongst the muhajirun got into a fight with a boy from amongst al-ansar. So this young boy called his followers and he called his followers. Two blessed groups. What did the Prophet Muhammad say to these individuals? Da'watul jahiliyyah, a call of jahiliyyah, and I'm amongst you. Names, slogans don't mean anything in the Sharia. They don't mean anything in the Sharia. Because if you become arrogant on your names and your slogans and the groups and the parties that exist amongst you, and you champion your personal cause, you champion your people. And I want to set the record straight. We claim to be people following Quran and Sunnah. We are a people who follow personalities and identities. We no longer want to follow the truth. We want to follow personalities. And when the truth is given from another source from our personality, we become so, excuse the harsh expression, evil and wretched, but to downright reject it because it does not come from our sources. Is that what it means, da'wah of Quran and Sunnah? Is that what it means? Then it means quite safely that those muqallidun who follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, or Imam Shafi'i, or Imam Malik, or Imam Ahmad, are on a far better understanding, because they are making taqleed of a'imma, where there is no difference of opinion amongst any imam. It's far safer than to make taqleed of those individuals. Because the current climate at the moment is a love of personalities, not a love for the truth. What made this da'wah so unique, so pristine, so powerful, was the focus of returning back to analyzing the truth and coming back upon the truth. And with fair preaching and wisdom and fine etiquette, to highlighting what is the correct understanding, not to fall into this cliche of love of individuals, love of personalities. وَلَوْ كَانَ شَيْخَ عَلَّانَ وَفُلَانَ أَوْ دُكْتُورَ فُلَانَ. No matter what the title, what the laqab, whatever the pristine is, الْحَقْ هُوَ الْأَوْلَى. The truth is the first thing for the individual to search for. And sometimes the truth can even lie with one single individual. Sometimes the truth can be changed by one single individual. How can it be changed by one single individual? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the day of Ridda that you find, وَاللَّهِ لَأُقَاتِلَنَّ مَنْ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. He said, I'll fight against any individual who makes that distinction between the prayer and zakah. And likewise, Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh. You know, we all champion the cause of Imam Ahmad and champion this cause of Imam of Ahlul Sunnah. You know why he's given this champion cause of Imam of Ahlul Sunnah? One man, one individual, when a mass amount of fuqaha of Hanabila turned their backs in the mihna, in the inquisition of Khalqul Quran, Imam Ahmad remained steadfast. One man, one imam, changed the time for the whole Muslim Ummah. So don't fall into that trap that we need a body. At times it could be one individual that comes with one stance that changes the whole stance of the Muslim Ummah to remind it of what a true stance should be. But in conclusion, to return back and to study these individuals who have been guaranteed paradise. فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. We walk around claiming sanctity for ourselves, that we're people of paradise. These individuals have been promised paradise, whether it be Al-Asharatul Mubashara, the 10 promised paradise, whether it be Al-Thabit ibn Qais, read the tafsir of Surah Al-Hujarat, of this individual being promised paradise, whether it be Bilal ibn Rabah Al-Habashi, the Abyssinian slave, read his khuluq, read his characteristics, read his behavior, his outlook. But he's been promised paradise, because it's not about looks, it's about devotion. Read Imam of the Shuhada, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Read about Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha and her promise of going into paradise. And all of this should begin to recognize who are the people of the Sunnah and who are these false people who cling upon the way of Ahlul Bayt, of reviling and cursing the companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to follow the way of the companions, to seek lessons through the points that we mentioned throughout the discussion of these 2 days, to find those golden individuals and to find a visualization of their golden hearts, and to try to take some of the gold dust and to put it inside our rotten and evil hearts, because some of that dust will have a profound effect upon our wretched hearts and make us to come closer and closer to these individuals and to return back to be with them and to be around the Prophet Muhammad, and to drink from that fountain and to take from that fountain, and finally to get to visualize and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being amongst the devotee individuals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.